Don't worry about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, should keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. Thanks for listening. This is the Hour of Intercession. I'm Pastor Joseph Parker. We invite you to look with us in the book of Psalms, Psalm 91, beginning at verse 1. He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God. In Him I will trust. Surely He shall deliver you from the snare of the fowler, from the perilous pestilence. He shall cover you with His feathers, and under His wings you shall take refuge. His truth shall be your shield and buckler. You shall not be afraid of the terror by night, nor of the arrow that flies by day, nor of the pestilence that walks in darkness, nor of the destruction that lays waste at noonday. 1,000 may fall at your side and 10,000 at your right hand, but it shall not come near you. Only with your eyes shall you look and see the reward of the wicked. Because you have made the Lord, who is my refuge, even the Most High, your dwelling place, no evil shall befall you, nor shall any plague come near your dwelling. For He shall give His angels charge over you to keep you in all your ways. In their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone. You shall tread upon the lion and the cobra, the young lion and the serpent you shall trample underfoot. Because He has set His love upon me, therefore I will deliver him. I will set him on high because he has known my name. He shall call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him with long life. I will satisfy him and show him my salvation. Verses 1 through 16, all of Psalm 91. Lord, we thank you, Father, for the refuge we have in your word. Thank you for the fact that your word is a guide. It empowers us. It counsels us. It guides us. It strengthens us. It does so many things for us as we simply make it a priority to spend time with you one-on-one in your word every single day. Father, with every passing day, help us to grow in our love for your word and our commitment to reading and meditating on your word each and every day. And Lord, help us to be wise enough to teach and train our children to do the very same thing as well. Father, anoint us all afresh with the spirit of prayer and intercession that we would be the praying people you've called us to be. And anoint us afresh with the spirit of obedience that we'd be committed to both being hearers and doers of your word daily. We thank you. We praise you. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Thanks again for listening to the Hour of Intercession. Let me remind you once again, we want to invite you to go to our Facebook pages. Please go to Hour of Intercession and Hour of Intercession Live and like the pages. Also, please take time to go to our website, urbanfamilytalk.com, and subscribe. You'll find a number of very touching and enlightening articles and blogs there, so I hope you'll take time to do that. And then finally, they want to remind you that we do have free mobile apps for your iPhone and Android devices. Just go to your app store, search for Urban Family Talk, and you can download them. And that way you can take Urban Family with you anywhere you may go. Our phone guest today, we're privileged to have with us once again, Pastor Henry Coles, who is the pastor of Faith Life Church in Nashville, Tennessee. Pastor Coles, how are you today?
I'm well, Pastor Parker. How are you doing?
Oh, doing great. Appreciate you taking time to be with us. And you were with us not too long ago, but we're grateful that you took the time to be with us again and sharing a very different story and testimony. Years ago, I had the privilege of being with you on different occasions when I lived in the Nashville area for you and the great church that you served there in the Nashville community. And I heard on one or more occasions you share the story, your testimony of the journey of the loss of your son. And so we appreciate you coming back. And if you would, as we start off, if you'll share just a little bit more so that you can reintroduce yourself to our listeners, but then share the story of that journey for you and your family.
I'd be honored to. I'm landed here in Nashville, Tennessee as a result of an assignment from the Lord to come and plant a church out of Word of Faith International Christian Center, Bishop Keith Fuller out of Detroit, Michigan, almost 19 years ago. Mm-hmm. And as a result of really one of the most devastating challenges in my life, and my wife and I in 1982 were blessed to receive a son by the name of Henry III. We were just young, a couple growing in faith in Christ, and at the time I was in the secular world. I was pursuing financial services, and we had an older daughter, Tonda Linnea, and so Henry III was our second child. And over the course of the next 6 years, we ended up having another child, a daughter, Charlena. And at 6 years old, one day I picked him up from school, and then he had actually been out on a field trip with his first grade class, and the teacher said, "Oh, he's going to be real tired," and to kind of culminate our service, he began to complain of some aches and pains in his legs, and over the course of about 6 weeks, we began to take him back and forth to our family physician, and after several trips and some diagnostic tests, he was diagnosed with acute lymphatic leukemia. And we were, first of all, not very knowledgeable what that was, but we very soon came to discover that meant he had cancer of his blood and bone marrow. And spent the next 18 months growing in faith in God, grace in God, and watching a six-year-old little boy grow up into a man right before our eyes, and teaching us the true meaning of what it means to love God and to have faith in God over that 18-month period of time. And so we were confronted with battling against the terminal illness of leukemia. Now, when a terminal disease, when a family is challenged by a terminal disease, everyone is impacted. We didn't realize that how this challenge was going to challenge our faith in God, our marriage, the very stability of our home and family, and each one of us individually. Over the course of that time, we were back and forth to Children's Hospital there in Detroit, Michigan. We learned an awful lot about the disease. He had spinal tap, which, you know, with a needle injected into his spine and drawing out of fluids to monitor whether or not it was actually progressing into his brain. Had bone marrow aspiration where he drilled a needle into his hip bone to draw out bone marrow to see the progression of the illness.
Pastor Coles, just a quick question. So all of this, he was first diagnosed when he was 6 years old, you said?
6 years old.
6 years old, okay. And so prior to that, you had no knowledge of him having any difficulties in his life, is that right?
Perfectly normal, bubbly, energetic boy playing soccer and basketball and baseball, even, you know, T-ball, T-ball, and absolutely no symptoms of any kind of sickness, perfectly healthy and energetic young man.
And how common is that that form of leukemia?
Well, it is common amongst children. So it, unbeknownst to us at that time, it can be formulated or identified from children that are just, you know, weeks old all the way to adults. actually, a very, very famous sportscaster, Brent Saber, just passed away not long ago from leukemia. And so it impacts all ages and all ethnicities and races, but common sometime in children. Mm-hmm. And usually a little bit more challenging in boys than girls.
Okay.
Life-threatening more so in boys and girls.
Mm-hmm. Okay, then. Okay, and so you were going through the routine of taking your son back and forth to the doctor on a pretty regular basis as you were pursuing treatment for him then?
Absolutely. And at the same time, you know, trying to maintain a sense of normality in our home and our, you know, with our other daughter, to show you how traumatic it was. He was 6 years old, and his journey was 6 to 8 years old. His older sister was actually 4 years older than him, so she was 10 years old. Mm-hmm. And 10 to 12 years old, and we were trying to again support the entire family, but we began to see that it was impacting her as she watched her younger brother go through this journey.
Mm-hmm.
She ended up acting out some of her pain, and one time she even called 911 and put in a false fire alarm as just a little child.
Mm-hmm.
not realizing that those 911 calls are traceable. She was over her grandmother's house, and so the 911 operator called back to the phone and spoke with her grandmother and found out that she had, actually called in a false alarm of a fire alarm, but we came to find out that she was actually grieving and going through some trauma.
Mm-hmm.
As her brother was actually going through his chemotherapy and the rigorous treatment regimen that he had to go through during that 18-month period of time.
Okay. And so it affected each member of the family maybe a little bit differently, in at least the way they processed it in their own minds and hearts then.
Absolutely. And for my wife, naturally, her mothering instincts kicked in. And one of the first things that parents do is, you know, was it something that I did? Something is it was, did I get too close to the microwave? Did, you know, were there some chemicals? Was there, you know, food? You just go through this sense of guilt and blaming. How did this happen to my child? And so both of us went through that. I had worked at a laboratory.
Mm-hmm.
Just prior to his conception, and so one of the things that I began to process was some of the chemicals that I used as a quantitative analysis technician in a laboratory. Was a possibility that I, you know, the chemicals that I was breathing, did this bring it about? And, you know,
lots of questions there, yeah. We're going to jump in here with a break. We'll be right back, and we'll pick up there. You're listening to the Hour of Intercession. Our guest is Pastor Henry Coles, the pastor of Faith Life Church in Nashville, Tennessee. We'll be right back.
We're losing 417 Vietnam veterans every day, and with them goes their memories and unique personal histories. This includes the 7,286 African American heroes who made the ultimate sacrifice for our country during the Vietnam War. Help us keep their memory alive by collecting their photos and by putting a face to each name inscribed on the Vietnam Veterans Memorial in Washington, D.C. The Education Center at the Wall on our National Mall will display these photos and be a place where their faces and contributions will never be forgotten. It will complete the work of the Memorial Wall and also honor those who sacrificed their lives in Iraq and Afghanistan. Help honor the service of all American veterans and bring their sacrifice to life. Visit vvmf.org to share your photos and your stories. That's vvmf.org.
A message from the Vietnam Veterans Memorial Fund.
I just thank God for the Holy Ghost. If you will let Him, He really will teach you all things. Have you ever made an excuse to someone why you were unable to do something or why you couldn't attend a certain event instead of just being honest and telling them you just were not interested? I think many of us have. Well, that's lying. Proverbs chapter 12, verse 17 says, "An honest witness tells the truth. A false witness tells lies." Proverbs chapter 11, verse 1 in one translation says, "Dishonesty in business disgusts the eternal." It disgusts God, but fair dealing delights Him. False witness utters lies. Be faithful and consistent with being honest with others. Stop with the excuses and be truthful. There is freedom when our integrity and character reflects our Savior Jesus Christ. What seems little to us are big to Him. With a heart for the Urban Family, I'm today's Urban Woman, Victory McIntosh. Connect with us more at urbanfamilytalk.com.
8 Days of Hope 13 is headed to Lafayette, Louisiana, June 4th to June 11th. Hi, I'm Steve Tiber with 8 Days of Hope. 8 Days of Hope is a faith-based ministry. We've gone all over the country to help families rebuild after natural disasters. We've helped almost 1,800 families rebuild their homes, sometimes from the ground up. Lafayette, Louisiana, and the whole state of Louisiana got hit by epic flooding last year in August. Almost 25 inches of rain fell, and almost $20 billion of damage was done. Literally 140,000 homes flooded. Think about that, 140,000 families waiting for somebody to be a glimpse of Jesus. You can be a skilled professional, or you can be somebody like me who's less skilled but wants to give back. Go to 8daysofhope.com. We provide the food and lodging, and you can learn a lot more about the ministry. And we can't wait to see you in Lafayette, Louisiana, June 4th to June 11th. For more information, go to 8daysofhope.com.
You're listening to the music of Forever Jones, the song Every Moment. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession here on Urban Family Talk. Our phone guest today is Pastor Henry Coles. He's the pastor of Faith Life Church. He's sharing the story of his journey, he and his family, through the death of their son. Pastor Coles, as we start off this next segment, would you share with our, would you take a moment to pray for families? You know, of course, you know, one thing that I think it's helpful to note is that there are those persons that are able to survive and thrive still with some of that, this same sort of illness. But again, our faith in God is critical no matter what our situation might be. But would you pray for families that have a loved one facing illness and some who maybe have lost a loved one as you did? Would you pray for them at this time?
Most gracious Heavenly Father, I first and foremost humbly come to you, thanking you for an assurance that I can offer to those who may be on a journey they would not have wished on anyone.
Thank you, Lord.
A journey of a challenge with one of their loved ones, or one of their children. And Father, I ask in Jesus' name that by the comfort of your sweet spirit, you would assure them that they didn't deserve this, that they don't blame themselves for it.
Thank you, Lord.
That there was nothing that they did or did not do that ultimately created this challenge. But unfortunately, because we live in a world where there is sickness and disease, that it's indiscriminate that they are challenged, and that you're with them. You're with them right now, and that your will is that a miracle or a miraculous intervention would come, and that, that they could have hope even in the, as they go through the journey, that you will never leave them, never forsake them, and that you will strengthen them and bring them through the journey.
Yes, Lord.
In your love and grace. And we just thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Pastor Coles. So you were sharing how that just different members of your family, including yourself, were sort of wondering if there was something that was done that could have just kind of second-guessing yourselves in a sense.
Absolutely, and that's a natural tendency, and I really want to strongly encourage the listeners not to allow that deception, thought process to begin to torment them and to challenge them to realize that God's love and grace is extended towards them.
Mm-hmm.
And that, you know, this world is full of challenges, and that certainly rooted and grounded all the way back to the Garden of Eden when Adam, you know, transgressed and entered the separation of God's grace, ultimately in the form of sin, that sickness and disease came along with that, and it's not because of anything that we've done necessarily, but because that has been passed upon all of mankind.
That's right.
You know, sin
is a
flaw of the fallen nature, and by Jesus Christ, we are restored back to grace and love with Him, and God will give us the ability to endure tribulations of life. And so don't blame yourself, and look unto Jesus to be the source of strength to bring you through and to sustain your marriages and your families the midst of the trial and tribulation.
Okay. Thank you for sharing that. And so you mentioned, too, you saw a lot of spiritual growth and maturity develop in your son's life during this period of illness, right?
It was amazing that Henry, you know, the children, they mature immediately. And, you know, I mean, from knowing the types of medications that they're taking, they learn the regimens, they learn you know, all of the dynamics around the illness. And so one of the things that I'm reminded of is that when his first grade teacher talked about when they came back, well, actually they were talking about what they were going to do over a summer vacation, what they were going to be doing.
Mm-hmm.
And when they got to Henry III, he said, well, you know, it all depends upon how I respond to my treatments, and, you know, I'll be going through. And he began to go through the regimen of his chemotherapy treatment, and he said how all the other children were talking about maybe going to Disney World and doing different things, and the reality of how this 6 and 7-year-old now was actually relating his reality to a treatment regimen, to a terminal illness, and how quickly that brought even her as an adult to a reality that was so different from everyone else's simply because of the illness. And,
right.
The maturity of this little boy to be able to convey that as impacting his summer vacation.
Hmm. Okay. And so basically he went through, you said, about an 18-month period of dealing with just the different type of therapies and a medication, taking a medication, that sort of thing in his life.
Absolutely. And yet he maintained the innocence of his childhood, which was the beauty of Christ carrying him, because we were blessed to have raised him in an understanding and a love for Christ.
Mm-hmm.
He was able to relate both his journey to his love for Christ. And we had a number of the parents of some of his schoolmates and classmates, you know, come and share with us how that their children were impacted by his strength and his love for Jesus, and how he would, you know, come back to class after missing class because of treatment, and connect with his classmates and share with them the importance of his love for Christ and his love for them as classmates, and that they were just all strengthened by it. He would allow the Christ in him to strengthen him and not make excuses for the illness, but he stayed on the honor roll, continued to participate in the activities that were available to him, the t-ball and the little sports activities with his buddies and friends, and they were all positively impacted by that to the glory of Jesus Christ.
That's good. That's good. And so it was. He was eight years old when he passed away. Correct.
Correct.
Well, tell us about. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
I want to share with your listeners the importance of if you can, giving your child an identification with the great grace of God and the salvation that is in Christ.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the powerful gifts that was given to Rafaela and I, my wife and our family, was that Henry really had a real relationship with Jesus Christ. And as a result, one of the things that he wanted to do as this disease progressed in his life, he wanted all of us to be baptized together, which we did.
Mm-hmm.
He wanted to make the honor roll, and he was always academically able to maintain his grades, but many times because of the treatment, he missed so many days of school, and one of the criteria was that you have to have so many days in class in order to be on the honor roll.
Mm-hmm.
And so he was able to make that goal.
Mm-hmm.
And then on his eighth birthday, we had a birthday party at the school, and afterwards he came in and he sat his mom and I down and said, "Now I just want to ask you a question.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not saying that this is what I'm going to do, but I just want to ask you a question. If I ask Jesus to let me come home because I don't want to go through any more of the treatments, what would God do?" And I told him, I said, "Henry, if you finish your assignment, if you completed your destiny that God has for you, God will allow you to go home, come home." But I immediately went into my dad role, and I said, "But you're only a little boy, and God wants to heal you and make you a testimony of his love and grace." And the scripture says, "But a 3 score and 10, and then grace." And I went into, you know, using the word of God to try to encourage him to continue to fight the good fight of faith.
Mm-hmm.
But 5 days later, he went home to be with the Lord. And I believe that he just prompted and let his mother and I know that he had, you know, fought his fight. He was tired of the bone marrows and the spinal taps and everything, and that he really asked Jesus to let him come home, and God honored that.
Mm-hmm.
And he was allowed to go home 5 days after that conversation.
Okay. And basically at that point, you and your wife had no idea really kind of where he was physically, but in other words, his honesty and the childlike faith was at work in his heart even then. So
absolutely, absolutely. Mm-hmm. We knew that he was sick. We had already, you know, had a Make-A-Wish trip to Disney World where he had a wonderful time, and mm-hmm. and me as a family had gone together. Mm-hmm. We had looked at the options of bone marrow aspirations, but we didn't. None of us had matched with him mm-hmm. more than what would have been basically a more risky venture. And so we had gone through that journey, and we knew that we were believed God for miracles. Mm-hmm. And the miracle was not that God would heal him supernaturally, but that ultimately that we watched a little boy grow up into a man, mm-hmm. stand in faith, endure as a good soldier, mm-hmm. and then ask God to release him from the pain and the suffering that all of the chemotherapy and all of the suffering that leukemia had created in his physical body, mm-hmm. and then to stay in love with Christ, and then get a glimpse of heaven and decide that, you know, I'm ready to go. Mm-hmm. I'm making my request known unto God, mm-hmm. and just his birthday was February 1st. Mm-hmm. He went home to be with the Lord on February 5th.
Oh, so he just turned 8, right?
Yes, and he just passed. Turned 8.
I see.
And accomplished all of those things that he wanted. We all were baptized as a family together. He made the honor roll, and he made it to his 8th birthday.
Mm. Okay. Well, Pastor Coles, would you take time now to pray for listeners, whatever's on your heart, because I guess there's so many different directions sometimes listeners may go through, because some have been down a similar, very difficult road, but then others have been through maybe not necessarily the death of a loved one, but a devastating storm in their life that may have felt like a death too. But whatever's on your heart to pray for our listeners at that, would you pray, please?
Father, I just thank you.
Thank you.
You are the author and finisher of our faith and the glory and the lifter of our heads, and you're the God.
Thank you, Lord.
Who through Jesus Christ says, in this life you will have tribulation.
Thank you, Lord.
But be of good cheer, for I have overcome the world. And
yes, Lord.
No matter what you may be going through right now, individually, maybe you've been challenged in your own physical body. Maybe you've been challenged in your emotions, in your mind, your will and emotion. Maybe you're suffering from depression or paranoia or bipolarism. Maybe you've got a broken relationship that's experiencing the death of a relationship, or maybe you're going through whatever you feel is so devastating. I want you to know God is there with you.
Yes, Lord.
He never leaves and he never forsakes you, and you can call out to him and he will strengthen you. He will sustain you. He will keep you. He will hold your marriage together. He will help each one of your family members in their own personal struggle, in their own personal journey of suffering and grieving. The God who will give you joy for your mourning.
Yes.
He'll put a song of laughter in your mouth if you'll just hold on and look unto him.
Amen.
So hold on to your faith in Christ.
Amen. We're going to jump in one more time with a break. We'll be right back. Our guest is Pastor Henry Coles, pastor of Faith Life Church in Nashville, Tennessee. We'll be right back.
The church has to take the lead in ensuring that men are properly trained for fatherhood. We have an epidemic in which boys are not growing up with their fathers. So as Christian men, we have to stand in the gap and make up the hedge so that our communities are not destroyed. When we see fatherhood as a blessing and not an inconvenience, we will see children as spiritual weapons in our arsenal. Blessed is the man whose quiver is full of them. Join us in the battle to strengthen fatherhood. UrbanFamilyTalk.com.
Listen to Stacey on the Right with Stacey Washington on Urban Family Talk. She's sharp.
I mean, did you hear that?
Pointed.
Remember that you're not only a Christian on Sunday.
And insightful.
Deception and lies have been accepted as the norm from the Democrats.
But most of all, she's on the right.
That scripture from the Bible that says the heart of the fool inclines to the left just kept popping into my mind.
It's Stacey on the Right. Weekday afternoons at 2 Central on Urban Family Talk.
Dr. Tony Evans says following God means following His plan, a custom-made destiny all our own. But what if we insist on going it alone? We'll hear about both options today as we spend 2 minutes with Tony.
We've got a generation of people with no future because they have no sense that they have a destiny. That's why people don't know who they are, where they're going, when they're going to get there. They have no sense that I have a significance so deep that God has even covered my future, which means He's covered everything till I get to it. A caterpillar has a special future. I mean, it may be slow and slimy, but once it cocoons inside slowness and ugliness is beauty. Inside this slimy little creature is somebody who's gonna take flight to the sky. See, a lot of us have had a caterpillar existence. We've been grounded by our background, grounded by our circumstances, grounded by our upbringing, grounded by a no-caring deadbeat dad, grounded by an insensitive mom, grounded by relatives who abused us, who called us names and misused us. But let me tell you about your birthright. Because the moment that you accepted Jesus Christ into your life and were born again, God started the process of creating a butterfly. The problem is you can get so used to being a caterpillar so long that you don't even think that you could ever be a butterfly. But a butterfly is your birthright.
Learn more about who you were created to be and how to live out your purpose successfully. Check out Tony's CD series, The Spiritual Toolkit, when you visit tonyevans.org. Then be sure to join us next time for 2 Minutes with Tony.
Listen to music from Planet Shakers, the song simply entitled The Anthem. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession here on Urban Family Talk. Our phone guest today is Pastor Henry Coles. He's the pastor of Faith Life Church in Nashville, Tennessee. Pastor Coles, I want to just take a moment to pray for you and to pray for listeners who may have been down a similar road as well. Lord, thank you for Pastor Coles and his willingness to share his very powerful story of the journey he and his family went through in the loss of their son and their brother. And thank you, Lord, for the fact that you're a God that's so big that you're able to carry any and all of us through a time of loss and difficulty, whoever we might be. Lord, pour out your grace, mercy, and peace mightily upon every family listening that may be still very much in the middle of the pain of the loss of a loved one. And even those that maybe it's been a long time, but still, the loss is still felt in some capacity. Lord, help us to know, Lord, that we can trust you even through the storm. We can trust you through whatever difficulties or trials we may experience, because you're a big God that's more than able to carry us, to strengthen us, to lift us up, even in those difficult times. And help us, Lord, more and more to learn to draw even closer to you, lean upon you more so for strength than ever before. And help us to know, Lord, that no matter what we go through, again, you're a reliable Heavenly Father, you're a good shepherd, and you're a shepherd that can be trusted and a shepherd that is always to be followed. We thank you and we praise you. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Amen. Pastor Coles, as we're in the last segment, anything else about your story that you feel like would be helpful to share with listeners in their dealing with either similar or different, but maybe similar in other ways, storms they may go through in their lives as well?
It's really important that they seek out a support system that that both supports them naturally as well as spiritually.
Mm-hmm.
I think the statistics were at that time, 82% of all couples who experience the death of a child end up in divorce. And so it's really important that they have a strong either church family or a support system to help to strengthen them as they go through the very real pain and challenges and the demands of a terminal illness and or the threat of a child preceding them in death. It's one of the most hardest things emotionally, psychologically to experience, but it, by the great grace of God, it can be overcome.
Mm-hmm.
And individuals can survive it and use it as a testimony of God's goodness.
Mm-hmm.
In spite of the hurt and the harm of emotionally.
You said 82%, Pastor Coles?
Yes,
wow.
A very high percentage. And so you really need the support of loved ones, family members, friends, and those who have a love for Jesus Christ, and realize that people will say things that they, out of an attempt to try to comfort, that may not be comforting.
Right.
You know, no one can understand what it's like to go through the challenge of a child suffering and before their eyes. But they'll say, you know, I understand. No, you don't understand.
That's right.
You don't want to understand, but just realize that love, support. Sometimes it's just a listening ear. Sometimes it's a diversion from what's going on that will be a help. There are opportunities that are available. We've started an extension of a call, Our Journey of Hope, which is a support group out of the Cancer Treatment Centers of America.
Mm-hmm.
To support families that might be going through cancer of any kind. We try to create a variety of support resources by which individuals can tap into. We have a website, www.faithlifechurchtn.org. That's www.faithlifechurchtn.org, and we have resources on there. We have an app, My Faith Life app, that we provide some resources that people can access. And then certainly, if If we can be of support to anyone, they can contact us by that website, and we'll try to help them in any way that we can.
Okay. Share that website one more time.
It's www.faithlifechurchtnfortennessee.org. And if they go on there, they can contact our ministry, and we try to make available through both online as well as we have trained counselors to help individuals. I just received a master's degree in life coaching from Huntington University. So I am a certified life coach, instructor, and executive coach, and so if we can help individuals to get through some of those challenges, we'd be honored to be able to do that. And all glory to God.
Okay. Well, Pastor Coles, just a question. Now, I'm still thinking about the percent. You said 82%. Now, can you tell me from a pastoral perspective, and I know you may or may not feel like you can really speak to it, but why would you guess that is so high? Is it the couples are blaming each other, sort of, or what do you think may be some of the main reasons why the marriage is...
Well, that certainly is one of the reasons, blaming, but the demand and the pressure of the situation challenges our Christian faith and belief, and sometimes people, they become angry with God. They blame God. How could a good God allow this to happen to my child? They begin to blame one another. The support for one another, the marriage is challenged. You know, the financial challenges that come along with it, the disruption of their normal life. Now people have to start taking time off from work to make sure that the child gets the treatment that it needs, and so that, you know, there's just the pressure associated with it that ultimately begins to make a great demand. And if they don't have the strong foundation of love in Christ one for another, the stresses and the strains can begin to pull individuals apart. By the time that they grieve and go through the grieving process, they find themselves estranged and not willing to do the things necessary to overcome the devastation that has been caused by the loss of that child.
Right. And that's all the more reason why the church needs to become highly skillful at embracing people and coming alongside, loving them and helping carry them through a great time of loss. And of course, you know, Pastor Coles, if you just comment on this too, sometimes, as you just alluded to, people meaning well will say things they have no business saying and say things they really should never say. And just like when someone says, "I know how you feel," that's probably a statement no one should ever make under any circumstances, because you don't. You really don't.
Yeah. Well, only those who have unfortunately experienced a similar situation of the loss of a child can say that they have their own personal experience, and so that there's an identification.
Right.
Each individual experiences it uniquely.
Right.
And so what we can do is ultimately be there to undergird their journey and let them know that they're not going through it alone.
Right. I think of this, that it's one of those situations where often, on a number of occasions, I found people will say that the people that helped them the most were people sometimes that just, after their loss, just came there and didn't say anything. They were just there. They were just there and maybe so quietly prayed for them, but didn't try to offer advice, didn't try to tell them, now you need to do this and this. They just were there.
And I would also let them know that your life is never, ever the same, mm-hmm. but God gives you the ability to reacclimate to mm-hmm. life without that loved one in a healthy way. And so here it is now, let's see, 20, he would have been 35, so that's, but and he died in 1990, so that's 2000, that's 27 years ago. Mm-hmm. And I still, on his birthday, swell up with emotion, and mm-hmm. and it's not as painful, but the reality of it is still always with me, and people need to give themselves the grace to realize that there may be a small open wound in their heart that they carry, kind of like Christ has the wounds of his death on the cross. They don't pain you, mm-hmm. but they're still there, and individuals need to give themselves the grace to realize that that their lives will always bear a remembrance of one so dear, and that it may even trigger an emotion along with that, but then that's okay and that's healthy.
Right. You know, I think of this, Pastor Coles, our time is about gone, though, but I know when my my first wife, Linda, went home to be with the Lord, I had been in the ministry a number of years, but I remember thinking to myself, how in the world did I minister to people who'd lost loved ones before that? Because everything changed in my perspective.
Absolutely.
I'd never lost anyone close before, and I was just wondering what in the world I did before that, because I could now walk with them in a way that I couldn't before.
And let me share this really quickly. My wife, 2 years ago, found a lump in her breast that was malignant, had it removed, and went through all the chemotherapy, et cetera, et cetera. And she made the comment, "I never can say that you understand." Mm-hmm. Unless you go through it. And now she says, now she understood what Henry was talking about, mm-hmm. and what others who are challenged with cancer mm-hmm. really mean when they talk about the pain and the suffering and everything else.
Right.
I thank God she's doing well mm-hmm. and cancer-free at this moment. Mm-hmm. But that's the reality that I'm talking about.
That's right. Amen. Share your website one more time, Pastor Coles, please.
www.faithlifechurchtn.org.
Amen. Thank you so much for being with us, and thank you for sharing your story, all right?
God bless to all of your listeners. The great grace of God to you, and the love of Christ be upon you each and every day.
Amen. Thank you. And thank you for being a part of our listening family and joining us today. Join us again next time for the Hour of Intercession.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of Urban Family Talk, Urban Family Communications, or American Family Association.
Urban Family Talk. Urban Family Talk.